started talking about our priorities as a chamber, competitiveness, job creation. We asked them to talk about their priorities. And at the first beginning of the meeting, it didn't sound like we would find anything in common to talk about. It was, we were both, you know, way off from each other. But as the meeting went on and we got to know each other and we started kind of go down rabbit holes on different issues, one of the members of the group that day stopped. He said, you know, we're saying the exact same thing. We're just talking two different languages. And all of a sudden there was a light bulb that went off that everything we were doing were focused on those corporate execs, you know, in the high-rise towers. They were talking about the same business issue, but from the small business standpoint. So we literally started a conversation and a dialogue about how do we change how both groups talk and find where those opportunities in the middle are.
Hello, my name is Soyini Koch, and welcome to the second season of Capitalism Done Right, brought to you by CEO Exclusive and the Conscious Capitalism Chapter of Atlanta. One conversation at a time, one CEO at a time, we're exploring the capitalism side of conscious capitalism. When we say that, we mean how real businesses are investing in their relationships with all their stakeholders and employing the tenets of conscious capitalism in such a way that it creates real profits. In other words, capitalism done right. In this episode, I have a great conversation with Chris Clark, who is the CEO of the Georgia Chamber of Commerce. I interviewed Chris a few years ago when conscious capitalism was just becoming a thing. And for CDR, I want to talk to him again because he has the benefit of seeing the evolution of conscious capitalism across thousands of businesses across the state. I really love his 10,000 foot view. And we also get into a little bit of politics. Yikes. But I think we do a wonderful job of treating this subject. So, of course, it's your opinion that matters. So take a listen to the show and let us know what you think. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Capitalism Done Right, brought to you by CEO Exclusive and the Conscious Capitalism Chapter of Atlanta. I am, like, really, really excited to have Chris Clark, who's the CEO of the Georgia Chamber, on today's show. And I interviewed him a few years ago, and it was a really, really transformational interview for me and for this effort. He introduced me to Rick Jackson from Jackson Healthcare, and I really began to see through that interview that conscious capitalism, beyond the name and the brand name, is a real way that people do business. And I am just delighted to have this follow-up interview to talk with Chris about what he's seeing as the CEO of the Georgia Chamber in terms of the growth and development and maturity of stakeholder and conscious capitalism throughout Georgia. So Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. So Chris, one of the evolutions that has happened in my thinking and the thinking of conscious capitalism of Atlanta is really trying to focus on the capitalism side of conscious capitalism, not the do-gooder, you know, being kind to people side, which is great. And we love that.
Right.
But the premise of the show is that that conscious capitalism actually leads to more profits. And so I'm very interested to see with your members or what you're seeing across the state, the extent to which stakeholder capitalism or conscious capitalism is actually leading businesses to make more money.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. It's been part of, I think, what's called the Georgia way or Atlanta way for a long time. And we're happy to come back and talk about that more in depth. But really what I've seen is kind of a post-COVID pivot, right? In the middle of COVID, we were all so focused on keeping our businesses open over those first few weeks. And then all of a sudden you saw businesses start caring about their employees differently. How are we helping them be more resilient? And then you had this really deep engagement with businesses about the issues surrounding them throughout COVID. And then after COVID, what I started seeing was that businesses were really embracing this idea of resilience beyond just staying open during COVID. What does this mean for my whole business operation? How does this mean I treat my employees? How does this mean I treat my customers, my clients, my stakeholders? And I've just seen that continue to grow. It's almost a positive legacy out of a very negative time for the world, but particularly here in Georgia. And I think when you saw companies that were able to continue to be open and operate in some way during COVID, You saw them grow, their companies grow, and it sent a message, quite frankly, around the world that Georgia is a place where, you know, you want to operate because government cares about you, you care about your employees, the community cares about how you do, you care about your community. And I think that's really led us to have all this record economic development announcements that we've had over the last 4 years. And so I think you could really unpack that a lot of ways, but I think that was a really positive outcome of COVID.
Let's go back to something that you brought up, which hasn't come up before on air, but we talk about it a lot in the background. For listeners who may not be familiar with it, what is the Atlanta Way?
The Atlanta Way, and if you're outside of Atlanta, it's called the Georgia Way. But it's this corporate citizenship that just exists in this community. And I'll give you a quick story. When I first became I guess it was my first true executive position, senior position here in Atlanta, I got a call from a former CEO who'd been here forever. And he says, "I'm coming to see you." And I thought, why is this corporate giant coming to see little old me? And came and was very clear to me, sitting in my office. He wagged this long finger at me. And he said, "As men and women of faith and consciousness, we have to give back to our community. And if you're stepping into a leadership role, it's expected that you care about your employees, you care about the community, you care about something beyond the profit at the end of the day." And what I realized was that he and his peers have been having these conversations for 50 years with young executives in Atlanta. And it is. It's why you see executives move from the C-suite into running a nonprofit. It's why you see companies support Grady Hospital or just really invest and engage in their communities. It really came to a point during it's always been there in some format, but I really think it was the Atlanta leaders that work with Martin Luther King Jr. during the Civil Rights Movement, where he said, "Listen, you can sit on the sidelines and talk about this, or you can actually do something." And you saw that Atlanta group of business leaders engage in the Civil Rights Movement in a positive way, pushing back against the political pressure at the time, having a different narrative than what Alabama had or Mississippi or Louisiana. And that's just continued to grow until it's now just part of the ethos of the corporate community in Georgia, not only the big companies, but the mid-cap private companies, the banks, the small businesses, that there's an expectation that you will be engaged and be involved and think beyond your profit, your bottom line profit.
That's excellent. And I think this is a sidebar. When I interviewed an economist from the Metro Atlanta Chamber, one of the things he said that's a well-cited statistic in Atlanta is that in the 1970s, Birmingham and Atlanta were almost exactly the same size.
Right.
And he says it's this Atlanta way, which is another word for conscious capitalism. Let's just call it that, right? Yeah. It was conscious capitalism before, you know,
it's cool.
We had this brand name, is the reason why Atlanta is what it is, and Birmingham did not grow as quickly as Atlanta did. So that's a great kind of statistic if people are looking for statistics and proof for, you know, how these principles lead to real economic outcomes.
We're always recruiting new companies to Georgia. And several years ago, there was this big company. They were looking all over the country. And one of my peers from another state called and said, "You know, I don't think this company will be a good fit for Georgia." And I said, "Well, that's an odd thing to say. I don't understand. And he goes, "They're not good corporate citizens. They don't believe in giving back. They have a very negative ethos about the community and how they engage." He says, "The more I think about it, the more I think they're not going to fit in Georgia." And ironically, they didn't choose us. But at the same time, another similar company did choose Georgia. And we were having meetings with them as they were kind of laying the groundwork to come into our state. And it was wonderful to see this company said, "We want to be part of the Atlanta Way. We want to be part of Georgia. Tell us which nonprofits to engage in. Tell us where to go recruit diverse men and women to come to work for our company. Tell us how to engage in our community where we're going to be. There's no grocery store. How can we get a grocery store for the people in that neighborhood?" So this idea is literally out there in the atmosphere that this is how Georgia does business. And if that's what you feel and that's what is important to you, this is a good place to come. If you don't feel this way, you might be better off in another location.
Right. Sometimes the best way to define values or to see what people's values really are is when they have to trade some, one thing off for something else, right? It begins, that's like the real sense of what a value is, right? That's right. What you put value on is what you say no to is a lot of times what defines your values. So that's great. So let's talk about resilience. I'm very interested to see or to hear from your perspective what the economics of resilience really are. I know I have my perspective and I've seen it in my own life and in you know, companies' lives or companies' existences as well. But when a company is more resilient, how do you think that that leads to better economic outcomes?
We live, as you well know, we live in an incredibly dynamic, changing moment by moment economic environment globally. What we thought was a great job today, that job won't even exist six years from now. I think the statistic is something like 40% of all the jobs that our kids will apply for when they graduate college don't exist today. Personally, if you don't have that resilience, and I do worry about that for this current generation, if you don't have that resilience, then you're not going to be successful. I think that's one way to look at it is how do I remake myself? How do I get new skills? How do I bounce back? I think it's so vitally important. And we look for that when we interview people to work for us. I think another part of it is if you really want to talk about what drives the economy, we can talk about these big businesses moving here all day, but it's at the end of the day, it's the small businesses, it's the mid-cap, it's the entrepreneurs, it's the startups. And let me tell you, if you're not resilient, if you don't have that resilient mindset, then you're not going to be a successful entrepreneur. You're not going to grow your business. You're not going to create the next Home Depot or whatever it may be. So I think resilience, I think about it in those two components of how we deal with changes, stress, what happens to us as we go through the day. But more and more, that resilience, I think, is part of sustainability. And how do we build more resilient facilities, you know, solar panels? How do we strengthen the grid? How do we make sure that we're flood prone when we build new products on the coast? So I think there's a lot of different ways to look at resiliency, and I can go down either rabbit hole for an hour talking about probably.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if I think of the typical growth stock chart, you know, where it's like a, but it's a rising, you know, kind of jagged saw. For me, what I think of resilience, I know for me as an individual, I tend to focus, or even in businesses, we tend to focus on the top, right? Like what's the best year, the best revenue, the best growth that we can achieve. But another way to increase your financial performance is to make the bottoms shallower, right? If you don't go down as far during the dip, you're going to grow faster. And right. For me, that's the economics of resilience, is that making that bottom, like instead of being like, it's like, yeah. And you just go up a little, you go up more.
Right. Yeah. I love that.
If you all can pick
I'm going to use that.
Yeah. You know, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I said, I'm going to use that example in the future. That's a good one.
Yeah. So I think this is, you know, awesome. And one of the things I just want to turn the conversation to, because I have you here, and it's a slight pivot in the conversation. I would love for you to talk about the different perspectives ideologically of capitalism, because I know that you also have a bird's eye view of that as well at the Georgia Chamber. Just how people think of capitalism. We're a very diverse state. You know, we're diverse racially, we're diverse, you know, in terms of ideology, we're diverse in terms of countries. You know, I think Gwinnett County now has more countries represented than any other county in the country. So we have the most diverse county in the country, which is very exciting. And a lot of people who aren't from the United States wouldn't necessarily think of that about Georgia. So what's your view on capitalism, you know, from the different viewpoints that you may encounter at the Georgia Chamber?
Well, it's interesting. I think there's a little bit of a change going on. But here's the unique thing about our state is we've had Democrat leaders, now Republican leadership. But for the last 30 years, we've had a very stable economic development, job creation market. And when we have bills that go before the General Assembly that are focused on growing jobs, helping business, Republicans and Democrats alike both support them. It's been one of those issues. I think infrastructure and job creation have been the two nonpartisan issues that we can count on the Democratic caucus, Republican caucus agreeing, focusing on, saying creating good, high quality jobs for the citizens of Georgia are a priority. And we've been blessed by that.
Well, it's uniquely American that all Americans seem to love money. Like, that's very American.
Listen,
you know, like, we all like making more money, having more prosperity.
Right. And I think if you look at the benefits, particularly of entrepreneurship and small business, if you want to move someone out of poverty and into prosperity from a generational standpoint, the number one way to do that is to have them create their own business, give them the resources, help them be successful. Bottom line, that's all they need to teach in business school, and you'd be fine. That model works. And I think we've been successful and blessed in Georgia to be able to have that like-mindedness for a very long time. And I think that's why we're one of the reasons we're the best place to do business for 9 years in a row. But you are seeing in other states, particularly, and some at the federal level over the last 4 to 5 years, this shift on the far right and the far left that somehow capitalism and businesses are the bad guys. You know, I joke with people that for a long time we watched movies and the bad guys were the Germans, and then the bad guys were the Russians, and the bad guys were the Chinese, and now the bad guys are the businesses, right? It's all some megalomaniacal CEO sitting in a lair somewhere trying to bring down the world. And I worry about what that impact is long term. If the far right, far left think businesses are bad or capitalism is bad, then we start to worry about the underpinnings of our democracy and our whole economy. So I do worry about that. We haven't seen that as bad in Georgia as you're seeing in other states. But obviously you're seeing states where the governors are purposefully going after businesses for having an opinion, and trying to shut them down. That's not good for democracy. That's not good for the First Amendment. It's not good for business. So that does, I think that's a cloud. I think that's a storm cloud on the horizon that we have to be aware of and continue to think about and focus on.
And I have two questions for you on that. So the first is, how do you think the conscious business movement, stakeholder capitalism, conscious capitalism, you know, purpose through profits, how do you think that when you superimpose this lens on top of capitalism, how do you think that changes things? Because I sense that conscious capitalism is being pigeonholed a little bit on the left, and I don't think that that's right at all.
Yeah, and I do worry about that. I think, listen, we're in a political environment where anything and everything is going to be politicized. Mom and apple pie are probably next, right? One's going to be Republican and one's going to be Democrat. You can't do one or the other. And so I do worry about that. I think when you use terms, I don't think conscious capitalism is quite so politicized yet, but definitely the term stakeholder capitalism has become politicized. It's a great question, and I think you have to be careful about how we brand and talk about the outcomes of issues to the different groups that are out there. I think every politician wants businesses that give back to their communities and treat their employees great. How you define that, when you put a stamp on something like ESG, right, which has become kind of a political calling card now, particularly in Florida, you can't have anything that talks about ESG, or we're going to ban your business or ban your bank from doing business with the state. Mm-hmm. I worry about that. Then you're telling businesses who they can operate with. What we try to talk to businesses about, particularly that think about conscious capitalism or think about stakeholder, think about just the Georgia way or the Atlanta way or doing good, is to really define those in your corporate values. Let this be something that you believe in as a company. Not necessarily because of some agenda of some political group that they're putting on you, but because it's good for your, going back to your point, it's good for your bottom line. It's good for your employees' growth. It's good for your customers. Therefore, we will be a sustainable company. We will go to net zero, for example, because yes, it's good for the ecology, but it's good for the economy for us too. And so I think that's where businesses have to be careful. They have to just clearly define their values. Why are they taking these actions? And then be willing to defend them at the end of the day. But I do hope, pray, that at some point we move beyond this populist movement that's happening right now where we're going to politicize everything. And if you're not for us, you're against us. Therefore, we're going to attack you and go after your business. that's just unhealthy.
I agree. And, you know, I'm going to go on record and just say, right, like, if you look at the statistics, it's not like a surprise that a Black woman in Georgia is a Democrat, right? Like, it's not a surprise, right? Like, yeah, you know, you could just play the odds on that one. And 98.9% of the time, you'd be right. So I'm not the one Black woman in the state of Georgia who's a Republican. Sorry. Right. And, like, I love capitalism. Like, I think money is great, you know, like, and I, you know, I have a very sane approach, you know, and it's so that's okay. And I think that certainly two things that I'm just very hopeful for, I have that same prayer too. Like, we have to get past the point where we are focused on ideology and connect more around ideas and values and what's important to us. And I think if we can do that, Chris, we'll get through this moment. But we got to be able to get back to the values. And I think if you value jobs and giving people a great economic future, and I value jobs and giving people a great economic future, it doesn't matter if you call me a Democrat or you call me an apple, like, or you call me whatever, you call me Mary, whatever. Like, those values are a shared point of view that you and I can connect on, regardless of whatever else there may be going on in our belief system. And we can disagree. Like, right. I'm sure there are many issues around which we would, you and I would disagree. But like that, the values piece, like, we can have a real meeting of the minds, hearts, minds, and spirits around those values. And that's what's going to get us through this moment.
I think so. And I'll give you a great example. This goes back, gosh, now 7 or 8 years ago, we had a conscious effort at the chamber that if we were going to be representative of the voice of Georgia businesses long term, then we needed to be a more diversified and inclusive organization. That, you know, if you looked at the numbers then and now, the two fastest growing groups of entrepreneurs in Georgia were Latinas and African American women. Well, we weren't reflective, that we didn't see them in our membership. And so we had this interesting meeting at our office. We brought in all of these different organizations that represented pretty much every spectrum of ideology and the economy in Georgia. So a lot of minority business organizations and nonprofits. And we started talking about our priorities as a chamber: competitiveness, job creation. We asked them to talk about their priorities. And at the first beginning of the meeting, it didn't sound like we would find anything in common to talk about. It was, we were both, you know, way off from each other. But as the meeting went on and we got to know each other and we started to kind of go down rabbit holes on different issues, one of the members of the group that day stopped. He said, you know, we're saying the exact same thing. We're just talking two different languages. And all of a sudden, there was a light bulb that went off that everything we were doing were focused on those corporate execs, you know, in the high-rise towers. They were talking about the same business issue, but from the small business standpoint. So we literally started a conversation and a dialogue about how do we change how both groups talk and find where those opportunities in the middle are. And we found that there was so much more in common, to your earlier point. That actually led us to have an incredible partnership now with the Georgia Hispanic Chamber and the Atlanta Black Chambers, who are now affiliates of our organization, who we work together. Their voices are in everything we do. We share partnerships with them. And we find the same language to talk about. It doesn't mean we agree on every single issue, to your earlier point, but we're always looking for where we align and how we can help each other and how we help the communities that we represent. And I think that's the bigger effort that has to go on in society, of looking at where we, to your point, where's the common ground? Where do we find the compromise? Where are the values aligned? And there are more of those out there as Americans and Georgians than there are to separate us, I believe.
Yeah, and I think we just got to focus on those shared values and focus on, the, like you said, those places where we agree, which are, I think, far more than the places where we disagree. So there's one other thing that I want to, one other question that I had around this that I think is very, very interesting. To your point about capitalists being seen as bad guys, one of the things that I find moving about the Atlanta Way, as the precursor to conscious capitalism, let's say in Georgia, or, you know, in where we are, is that they found a way to take responsibility for the negative impacts that capitalism was having. So I think we shouldn't be naive, for those of us who think of ourselves as conscious capitalists, because conscious means aware,
right,
that capitalism has done some evil in the world. Like, let's just be honest, right? Like, it's done some bad things. But how do we take, those of us who are in the stakeholder movement, take responsibility for those and move and start to shift the things that have not gone well and create solutions for them, rather than just plastering over them? And I think that the Atlanta Way or the Georgia Way did that well in the civil rights era. And we need to shift that and find a way to modernize that approach. And so I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. And so, you know, going back to use that example again of the civil rights movements in the 60s, it wasn't an easy thing for those leaders to do at the time, because there was a political,
this huge, it wasn't, and it won't be today.
No, right. And you know, there's this political opposition to what they were doing. I found an article years ago where the Georgia Chamber was told we could not, this was 1960s, because of our positions on the civil rights movement, we were told we were not welcome in the Georgia Senate. That we weren't welcome to come and lobby and advocate and talk about these issues. And it ended up just devolving over the course of 7 or 8 years. But at the end of the day, the business community said, this is the right thing to do. We're going to stick with it. This is what is important for Georgia's future. And we'll move through that. And it took a long time, but you had like-minded political leaders that came in and said, there are changes that need to happen, and let's align and be part of that. So, you know, I'm a big believer in accountability and accepting responsibility. I think you see that with Georgia companies. You know, if they make a mistake, let's own it. If we have an issue, I'm trying to think of a company several years ago I was working with, and they had they were on a river in middle Georgia, and they had a power outage and then a failure of their systems, and they had a release into the river of some chemicals that, you know, should not have gone into the river. And they called me that afternoon and said, help us. And we immediately had a crew there from DNR. We had a crew there from an engineering firm, and they did river cleanup. They paid for it. They did their part. They invested. They came back and invested in their equipment so that wouldn't happen again. They didn't deny it. There was no cover up. There was, hey, this was a mistake. This impacts our community. It impacts our environment. Let's make it right. And so again, it goes back to that ethos of, you care more about where you live than about what you produce at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's such a great axiom and a really wonderful place for us to end the show. Chris, two things. Yep. So I am going to take you up on the offer that you made to talk about the Georgia Way. Okay. Right. So I'm going to actually invite you back on the show. And I would love to talk with you about a CEO that you can bring on that, you know, who's willing to go on record as being one of those CEOs who has those conversations. Cause we've talked about this a lot at the Conscious Capitalism chapter, this informal but formal process that CEOs go through when they come to Atlanta to be indoctrinated in a good way, right? Yeah. Into this value system. So I would love to have, I want to hear what that, somebody's willing to say, like, what does that conversation look like? Because it works. And we want that conversation. Literally, I want that conversation to be had with every CEO on the planet, right?
Yeah, like, it's interesting.
That's the goal of capitalism done right.
Yeah. I just did my first TED talk. Yeah. And I talked about my visit, and I just have my first book going out. And in my book, I actually go and interview 7 executives here in Georgia and talk about their faith and how that translates into their purpose and their passion and how they run their company. And so there's so many great men and women who want to share those stories. I'd love to connect us and bring a couple of those on board.
Done. Right. Deal. And Deal. So that interview, what I want to do is I want them to actually be like, the audience is the CEO that they're having that conversation with. And okay. Have that conversation so the world gets the benefit of what that sounds like.
I got the two perfect folks for that. So I'm ready. That's going to be awesome.
All right. Like, I'm already like, this is so, I'm so excited. As you can, the audience is probably like, why is she bouncing off the walls? Too much coffee, but love it. And then the second is just, you know, I love this idea of the partnership to create the space for values, right? Like, we're going to put aside everything else and just talk about the values and caring for our community and having business be a force for good, and like push everything else aside. That's why, that's the conversation that's going to, you know, heal us as individuals, us as a city, a state, and hopefully the country as a whole. So to the extent that we can just, you know, be the change and have our little bubble, our happy little bubble where that's happening, and then grow the bubble, I think that I'm very excited about even having, you know, one conversation that looks like that makes me very happy. And I think the world's going to change one conversation at a time. And that's also the one of the themes of capitalism done right. So, you know, audience, Chris, it's been a delight to have you, and I'm deeply moved by this conversation. I think, Chris, like, we are going to really make the difference, even if it's just in our small way here in Atlanta. And, you know, the audience, you've been listening to Capitalism Done Right. Chris Clark, the CEO of the Georgia Chamber, brought to you by CEO Exclusive and the Conscious Capitalism Chapter of Atlanta. Let's jump into what I think you should take from this interview with Chris. Resilience. Chris said that conscious capitalism gives a business resilience. And I'm sure that you well know every business, in fact, every human life, has its ups and downs. I share this in the interview, but I think it's worth repeating here to make sure you get this as a takeaway. I believe that the profitability of resilience comes from making our downs a little higher. So if your worst year in business goes from being like a minus 25% to being a minus 5%, your overall year-over-year profitability increases. That is resilience. And if you want to have more resilient employees and a more resilient business overall, that is exactly what we're here for. So take a look at the Conscious Capitalism website, subscribe to our newsletter, and certainly come join us at an event. Because I want every CEO, business owner, and business leader running their business this way. Please rate and review this episode on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Send it to a friend or colleague. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm always interested in hearing from you and your feedback. And that wraps up our time together on Capitalism Done Right, brought to you by CEO Exclusive and Conscious Capitalism Atlanta. Okay, if you're still listening, boy, oh boy, was there a lot to unpack from this interview. And it was such good stuff. The Atlanta way, or the Georgia way, actually is a real thing for those of you who haven't heard about it before. And I think it's a perfect illustration of a theme that you've heard me bringing up in the last few interviews, which is that these ideas and principles, you know, conscious capitalism, stakeholder capitalism, are timeless and they work regardless of what you call them or where they're employed. And the ethos of civic engagement, civility, focusing on values, conscious capitalism, is definitely a part of the business culture here in Atlanta. And it's paid off with consistent economic growth for the city. Listen, don't get me wrong. Atlanta is by no means a perfect place. I mean, for example, we have the worst income inequality of any major metropolitan area in the country, which I believe is a direct legacy of slavery. And of course, we've got a bunch of other problems like every other city. But for me, this is exactly why conscious capitalism is even more relevant and needed today. So if you're interested in more on this, you know, listen to the next show with Jerome Russell. I think you'll really enjoy that next show. And for today, that's all for now. Until next time, go out and do something great, transformative, and very, very good in the world with your business.